We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
And away we go, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, the big show on the radio, hour number two of the Rob Brown Show goes right now, right here on ESPN Upstate, 97.7 FM Greenville, 97.1 FM Spartanburg, and all around the world on the Odyssey app, AUDACY, your home for all the sports, news, information, and entertainment, podcast, and more that you could possibly want to listen to. Pick up the Odyssey app, AUDACY, and don't miss a minute of the Rob Brown Show with me, Alonzo. Don't miss a minute of Offsides with Mark Ryan and Diesel, or all of our outstanding broadcasting right here on ESPN Upstate, to which we add a voice that we have made a weekly segment and enjoy talking Carolina football with him every single Thursday, the host of the Panther Nation podcast, Rashad Beard, joins us here on the Rob Brown Show at ESPN Upstate. Rashad, what's up, man? How we doing, big guy?
I'm doing great, Rob. So what's up, man? Everything is great over here.
I love to hear it, big dog. I love to hear it. All right, so listen, we double-dipped last week. We had our Thursday to draft to preview the draft. We had our Friday to talk about the addition of J.C. Horn, the cornerback out of South Carolina, as the one pick. We went back again on Monday to review the draft. Now we've had a couple of days to sit and stew on it, to think about it. Rashad, I've been doing this job for a long time. And typically what happens is that fans are super critical of the draft on Monday, and by Thursday they are convinced that it was just the greatest draft that any team has ever put together ever. If you ask a fan from all 32 teams, 32 fans are going to tell you that their team had the best draft. We've had some days to sit and stew on it, to look at the picks. Now that you've had some time to really analyze, do you still think you're giving them an A-, B+, A+? What are you thinking?
Yeah, I'm still in that A- range, B+ range. I haven't changed much. I still don't think the long snapper pick, if that's what you're trying to get at, I still don't think the long snapper pick is very good. But I think it's still it was a good draft on draft night, and it's still a good draft. A lot of good pieces, a lot of good value in some areas. So I kind of stand pat where I am. I still feel the same about certain picks that I felt before. But I think we're in a good place. Added a lot of a good talent, and I'm happy about the draft overall. I think it's a good draft. And only time will tell whether things will pan out in our favor. But it's a good draft, good draft. I love J.C. Horn, love the Terrace Marshall pick. So I'm still on A- B+.
Still on the A- B+ range. I respect it. I'm in the same boat. I've kind of analyzed where different pieces fit and the needs look, I think. And we mentioned this. There were a couple of spots where – I thought maybe there was a player on the board that was a better value player, but, filled a lesser need. I think Carolina was committed to filling needs until it got later in the draft. I heard somebody say, I want to ask if you agree with this philosophy, Rashad. I heard somebody, I want to say it was Bill Parcells, though I could be wrong on that, but I heard somebody say at one point, you sell tickets with your draft picks in the first two rounds, you win Super Bowls with your draft picks in the back four rounds. So we like J.C. Horn. It was a good pick. Then we start in the fourth-ish round with guys like Chuba Hubbard, who agreed to a contract yesterday. You know, we got the long snapper thrown in there. I know you weren't a huge fan, though. I'll tell you, 4 years at Alabama without a single mistake. There are some teams like the New York Giants that would love to be able to go back and say they haven't had a special teams mistake in 4 years. Do you think that the Panthers did enough in the back half of the draft to address needs, or do you think they reached in some spots that maybe we didn't think they did on Monday?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, that long snapper pick still bothers me. And it wouldn't bother me as much as if, you know, because Trey Smith was there. And I think, you know, with all the issues that he had health-wise, I get it. He probably wasn't on the board. But it just bothers me the fact that he was still on the board and, you know, Kansas City took him for a reason. So that pick still bothers me just because of Trey Smith. But outside of that, man, you talk about Keith Taylor in the fifth round. That was a really good pick. Another press man corner. It's going to allow you to actually implement what you want to implement. Phil Snow is going to have a field day. Once Keith Taylor comes around, it's not going to be, you know, year one. But I'd say around year two or year three, I think he's going to be a fantastic player. And I'm high on Keith Taylor. I've been on high on Keith Taylor for a long time. Washington puts out really good cornerbacks. So I think we're got a good one there. You talk about Deontay Brown. I mean, we all seen what Deontay Brown done. He's not perfect. He's a big guy that you're not going to go through. However, you can go around him. And I think that's the biggest thing with Deontay Brown so far. But I think, you know, it's going to take get his feet under him and get, you know, get going. But I think Deontay Brown is going to be a really good pick, plug and play guard. I say year two, he's going to come into his own. Shai Smith, another good slot guy. I really like that pick as well. Davion Nixon, he's a steal you were able to get in round five to kind of bolster up that defensive tackle rotation on the inside. Love that pick. Chuba Hubbard, again, I like the pick. I don't like the pick if you're not going to use him. If you use him and actually split the carries like Matt Rhule says he was going to do on the Rich Eisen show, if they're going to use him properly, I like the pick. But I know when it really hits the fan and you need to get Christian McCaffrey, you have to peel him off the field. He's a super competitive guy. He's not coming off the field. You're not just going to make him come off the field. So, again, unless you give Chuba Hubbard the touches, I'm not a fan of that pick so much. But, again, give him the touches, I like it. Phil Hoskins, not too, you know, I think he's a good rotational guy. And again, the long snapper spoke about him. But I agree with the sentiment and the fact that, yeah, you gotta hit later in the draft to really, really give yourself a good chance to get competitive in Super Bowls. We've seen under Marty Herney, we've knocked the first round picks out of the park every single year, but that hasn't gotten us over the hump. You really have to hit in those later rounds. So I 100% agree with that sentiment.
Rashad Beard, host of the Panther Nation podcast, joining us here on the Rob Brown Show and ESPN Upstate. I am glad that you brought up that interview that was done on the Rich Eisen podcast with Matt Rhule. We played a little bit of the audio from it yesterday. I'm going to play one clip here because I know it was something that you talked about going into the draft. You wanted Justin Fields. Matt Rhule was asked why the Panthers passed on Justin Fields. I'm going to play that clip, and then Rashad, I just want your immediate reaction to it. Here's Matt Rhule on the Rich Eisen show.
You know, I think he's an unbelievable quarterback. I think he's going to have a ton of success. But you know, I think we made a decision that you know we were gonna have Sam be our quarterback. And you know, I look at it real simply. You know, had we drafted a quarterback, we would have a quarterback. You know, by taking another position player, we had Sam plus, you know, now JC. So you know, to me, it was two for one. It's an opportunity to continue to build the team while also having a quarterback in Sam that we believe can do it. So. That does not mean that I don't believe that Justin or Mac or any of those other quarterbacks aren't going to be franchise quarterbacks. I think they're really special, but this was a chance for us to get a corner and also, you know, move into the future.
So there's a little bit of what Matt Rhule had to say on why they passed on Justin Fields. I know you, Rashad, my partner in crime in the afternoon, Mark Ryan, when they passed on Justin Fields, he said he was, and I quote, devastated, end quote. Has the blow been softened a little bit with a couple of days passing?
Yeah. No, I think I'm over it. I was kind of over it with in day three. I kind of got over it, but I was devastated as well. I thought that you had the opportunity to get a guy. And listen, what Matt Rhule said is absolutely right. Listen, you got a guy who was 23 years old, was going on 24, and, you know, Fields is 22, Trevor Lawrence, 21, Zach Wilson, 21. But none of those guys have 3 years worth of experience. And you have a guy that has experience. So I get it. I get putting all of your eggs in this basket. From what Matt Rhule has worked with in the past, I think every Panthers fan has a right to question whether his QBI is valid, okay? So, I get it. You're supporting him. You want to put a team, and I think that's the right thing to do. You want to put a team around Sam Darnold and get him going and support him, and hopefully you can get it right. But, again, you go back in his history, Matt Rhule's history, that is, when has he ever worked with a legit superstar quarterback? It's never happened, right? Charlie Brewer was his quarterback at Baylor. P.J. Walker is the best quarterback he's ever worked with. He went undrafted, and now Teddy Bridgewater last year as a head coach. Matt Rhule hasn't seen a quarterback that is elite, so to speak. So I just think that, listen, all Panthers fans are right in their minds to question whether Matt Rhule has the QBI. And he's laid in his bed, and I get it. He's all in on Sam Darnold. I get it. I get what you've done. You traded away some draft capital. You got a good portion of it back, so you essentially got him for free, and now it's time to work. I mean, all this is good hypothetically, but I really thought you had an opportunity to grab a legit transcendent talent in Justin Fields, and you didn't do it. And only time is going to be able to tell us if that decision was right, and this could either make him or break him. And I'm talking about Matt Rhule, and he's gonna have to live with this one. But I'm in support. I am in support of Sam Darnold. I don't want to play this game like I'm hating him because we passed on Justin Fields. I am supporting Matt Rhule, and I want them to see. I'm a Panthers fan at the end of the day, and my team comes before any player, right? So I want my team to succeed, and I want the Panthers to succeed. So in order for the Panthers to succeed, Sam Darnold must succeed. So I'm cheering for him. I'm hoping that he does. So it is what it is. Sam Darnold's the guy, and I'm all behind it. Let's get it. Let's go, Sam.
Rashad Beard joining us here on the Rob Brown Show and ESPN Upstate, talking a little Carolina Panther football. Guy I'm interested in seeing the development of, there's actually two from this draft predominantly. That is Brady Christensen, the third-round offensive tackle. Passed on some good tackles in round two in order to get Terrence Marshall, which I think was a great pick. We talked about that. They get their guy, the man who spent his career blocking the blind side for number two overall pick, Zach Wilson. Guy that seems to fit into the Panthers scheme well, but the Panthers brought in Cam Irving in free agency, gives Christensen some time to sit and develop. I think he's got the potential to be solid, if not an all-pro guy. What's your read on Brady Christensen brought in alongside Cam Irving to kind of put some depth on that offensive line?
Yeah, I think we still have some questions to answer up front. And I know that the Bears just recently released a guy we should probably take a look at. So I'm not comfortable with this offensive line. I think it is a better offensive line than what Sam had with the Jets. But I still think we have some questions to answer, and I don't know that Christensen is going to be a plug-and-play left tackle day one. I think he's going to have trouble beating out Cam Irving, a guy that has a ton of experience. But you're right, he does have a chance to sit back, and I think the thing about Christensen is he can also play all across that line. He's a guy that can play, and he mentioned himself, he can play, you know, guard, center, and tackle. So he can do all of them, which is good for him. I think that'll help him get some immediate action maybe at one of the guard positions, and then eventually he can slide out. I'm interested to see what they do with Moten, because there's been some buzz as to he wants big money, and the only way to justify that big money is if he makes the move to left tackle. I don't know if that's going to happen or not. I don't know if that's the best thing for him. Might be best thing for his wallet, but I don't know if it's the best thing for him as a player. So I don't know. There's questions that need to be answered with the offensive line, and I'm not comfortable with, one, Cam Irving there, and I'm not comfortable with Brady Christensen there starting out week one. So Time will tell with that left tackle. We've got to fix it. That's something I still have question marks about.
Talking with Rashad Beard, host of the Panther Nation podcast here on the Rob Brown Show and ESPN Upstate. Last guy I want to ask you about individually, Rashad, is Shai Smith. You bring in the former Carolina Gamecock along with his partner, J.C. Horn. I think it's a depth pick, right? Like, I don't see him as a starter, at least not in the first couple of years. I see him as an option if you get into obvious passing downs, you're third and long, you need somebody to stretch the field out. If he can pick up the scheme and keep his head on his shoulders, there were some questions about personality and work ethic, but if he can keep his head on his shoulders, learn the scheme, I think Shai Smith becomes one of those almost kind of Brandon Cook-style receivers down the line of guy that's out there. You know why he's out there. You know what he's going to do when he's out there. And it's just, can you stop what he has the natural talent to do? Can he fit in with that style of play? And is that a style of play that Carolina will adopt should they find themselves in some long-distance situations?
Yeah, man, I think I like the Shai Smith pick. Again, Matt Rhule has seen him at the Senior Bowl. So I think he got a really, really good look at what he could do. And I think he was dominating out there in the Senior Bowl. And you saw some really good route running. Again, I think you hit it right on the head. That third down, kind of Curtis Samuel kind of mold where, dude, you just get open and he's able to kind of use his route running ability, get open on third down, third and short, third and long, and you just give him the football. He's got good speed. He can challenge dudes downfield. He can fight through some collisions. I think he has some gadget things he can do too. Got some gadget in his game. I like him a lot. And another thing that we're not really talking about is his kick return experience. I think he can offer some, and that's how he's going to get on the field, right? Get him some special teams snaps and have him kick return, punt return, things like that. So I like him. I like Shai Smith a lot. Again, like you said, I don't think he's going to come out week one being a starter and getting a ton of snaps. But, you know, a couple years down the line, I think he could be a really, really good player. And listen, that's what you're getting in the sixth round. We're not expecting him to come out there and be a day one starter. So give him some time, let him develop, and I think you'll have a good player on your hands in a couple years.
Rashad Beard is the host of the Panther Nation podcast. You can find them on Twitter at Panther Nation PC. But more importantly, go grab them on YouTube. They stream live every Monday. And I say every Monday, y'all it felt like, especially during the draft, y'all were going live about every 7 minutes. There was another video going up. Go to YouTube, search Panther Nation Podcast. If you're a Panther fan, they are an absolute must-add to your entertainment cycle. Rashad, my man, it's always great to talk to you, buddy. I appreciate you taking the time, big guy.
Yeah, thanks for having me, bro.
Always, brother. Always. That's Rashad Beard from the Panther Nation Podcast. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We will get on with our second segment here in hour number two. Plenty more stuff to talk about around the corner, including baseball's worst umpire, once again being baseball's worst umpire. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show and ESPN Upstate.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
The Rob Brown Show rolls on. It's ESPN Upstate. Rob, Lonzo, and you. You know, sometimes you just need a feel-good story, Lonzo. Sometimes you just need a little pick-me-up. Sometimes you just need something to feel good about. And here is that story for you today. Great one. 22-year-old Amy Bockerstedt is a golfer for the Paradise Valley Community College. And on May 10th through 13th, she will compete in the National Junior College Athletic Association's National Championship down in Florida. That will be in a couple of weeks. And that in and of itself is not all that impressive. We have women playing in that championship every single year. What is interesting about 22-year-old Amy Bockerstedt, Lonzo, is that Amy Bockerstedt is now the first student athlete with Down syndrome to receive an athletic scholarship, and she is the first student athlete with Down syndrome to compete for a national championship in college athletics. She became a sensation back in 2019. She paired with Gary Woodland on the 16th hole at TPC Scottsdale ahead of the Phoenix Open. That is the, if you follow golf, that's the party hole. That's the one where all the college frats and whatnot get together and go out there and absolutely party it up. She went out there, hit one into the sand, chipped out, knocked down an 8-foot putt for par. She and Woodland have become very dear friends since then. She has created, along with her family, the Bockerstedt family, the I Got This Foundation back in 2019 to provide golf instruction and playing opportunities for people with intellectual and developmental disabilities. And now Amy Bockerstedt becomes the first athlete with Down syndrome not only to win a scholarship to Paradise Valley Community College, but she's going to play in the NJCAA National Championships coming up this weekend down in Florida, per the Associated Press. I got to tell you, Lonzo, if you needed a feel-good story for today, Amy Bockerstedt is yo gal.
That is awesome. And just goes to show you, if you're determined and you have the drive to do something, that you can. That's an amazing story.
Yeah, incredible. Incredible young lady. Proving that she absolutely deserves this opportunity. You know, as we over the years, and I'm very, very happy about this, over the years, I think this country has started to recognize the challenges faced by those Americans and really international citizens that have developmental disorders, mental disorders. Down syndrome is not something that we should ostracize people for. Folks with Down syndrome are human beings. They are competitors. They are athletes. And this young lady has just taken that to the next level. Congratulations to Amy Bockerstedt. That is an incredible story. She deserves all the best. And, you know, I got to tell you, Zoe, in all honesty, maybe this makes me a bad show host, I don't know that I've ever watched the NJCAA golf championships in my past. But you better believe I'm going to be watching young Amy Bockerstedt this weekend when she's out there tearing up the course as the first athlete with Down syndrome to ever earn a college scholarship and play for a championship. Good luck to her, man. You want to talk about an athlete that has we talk about athletes that earn the support of the nation, that everybody rallies around for whatever reason. Amy Bockerstedt this weekend is that young lady.
Love this. You know, here's the other thing. I mean, we as able-bodied people make a lot of excuses as to why we can't do something, and see someone like this to overcome their disabilities and be able to go out there and perform at a high level. You don't really have an excuse. We don't have an excuse.
No. Good for Amy. Good for Amy. That is you want to talk about somebody that is raising the bar. You want to talk about somebody that is giving inspiration to people. Amy Bockerstedt, man, good for her. Good for her. All right, there's your feel-good story. Let's take a break. When we come back here in just a minute from right now, hockey. Yes, this story is about hockey, but also not about hockey. The revenge of the Rangers struck last night, and the Rangers got fined $250,000 for a connected incident. Why and how mad am I? Very. That's next on the Rob Brown Show on ESPN Upstate. All right, I'm calling an audible. I'm calling an audible here on the show. I told you I was going to talk hockey, and I will circle back around to that. But this story just broke a little while ago. College athletes in the great state of Georgia are now allowed to collect endorsements and sponsorships. The name, image, and likeness laws were signed into effect, by Georgia Governor Brian Kemp yesterday. He held a signing ceremony at the University of Georgia with a Bulldog backdrop in the athletic department's recruiting lounge. The symbolism was meant to be obvious for a law ostensibly designed to let athletes profit off their own image rights starting on July 1st. But with a capital B-U-U-U-T-T-T-T-T-T. The bill that Kemp signed into law, Lonzo, allows schools across the state to take up to 75% of an athlete's endorsement income, deposit it into a pool that will be redistributed for all athletes upon athletes' graduation. So the school can take 75%. The law is written, and I've got a copy of the law. It is written and says, quote, team contracts may provide for a pooling arrangement whereby student athletes who receive compensation for the use of their name, image, or likeness pursuant to this article agree to contribute a portion of the compensation they receive pursuant to such contract to a fund for the benefit of individuals previously enrolled as student athletes in the same post-secondary educational institution as such student athlete, provided that such pooling arrangement meets the following conditions. I, student athlete shall not be required to contribute an amount equal to more than 75% of the compensation received for the use of their name, image, or likeness pursuant to this article. I, is that how you say it? Do you go one or two, one, two, three, or do you go I, V, etc.? I don't know. Each post-secondary educational institution shall establish only for the purposes of this paragraph an escrow account in any bank or lending institution subject to regulation by the state only. Three, all contributions from student athletes who receive compensation for use of their name, image, or likeness pursuant to this article shall be deposited in such escrow account by the athletic director of the post-secondary educational institution or his or her designee upon graduation or withdrawal for at least 12 months from the post-secondary educational institution. Individuals who were student athletes prior to such graduation or withdrawal shall be eligible to receive a pro rata share of the pooled contributions based on the number of months the individual was a student athlete. And five, the post-secondary educational institution shall provide for the implementation of the provisions of this paragraph in a manner that does not discriminate against or treat differently individuals based on race, gender, or other personal status protected by federal or state law. Long story short, Lonzo, if you are to receive money based on the name, image, and likeness laws, up to 75% of that money will be taken from you, put into a pool, and redistributed to athletes who do not have the same money-making opportunities. Lonzo, as someone tweeted to me just a moment ago, that sounds like redistribution of wealth to me, something that Lonzo, Mr. Fairness, should be very much against.
No, this is stupid. This is flat out stupid. And by the way, it said may. There's a lot of mays in there that you read. It doesn't sound like it's an absolute. So if you make $100 on an endorsement, you have to put 75 into an escrow account that someone else gets to share, right? Am I gathering that? Am I getting
yes,
that part right?
That is the gist of it, yes.
So what is the real benefit to you as the athlete? I mean, if you're not going to make that much, you're still not going to make that much, and you have to give most of it away. I think this is more of a deterrent than it is to help everybody out. Because then I think as an athlete, you're like, well, why is it worth my effort to go out and do this if I have to give most of it away.
75%. So if you make a grand, let's say you're the starting quarterback, and you make a grand from your name and image and likeness being used by a local car dealership, right? They're going to put billboards with your face that says starting quarterback of Ohio State University, Lonzo, recommends Rob Brown Cadillac GMC Chevrolet. And I, as Rob Brown, the owner of this dealership,
so I'm rocking the Escalade, right?
Yes, you're getting your face put up on billboards that says Rob Brown recommend or Alonzo, starting quarterback for the Buckeyes, recommends Rob Brown Chevy Cadillac GMC. And I'm going to pay you, Lonzo, let's say $250 per month per billboard for $1,000 total to put up four billboards around downtown Columbus, Ohio. Out of that grand per month, Lonzo, you get $250 of it. $750 of it goes into an escrow account that will be redistributed to other student athletes upon their graduation or other departure from the university when their careers have come to its conclusion, so that it is fair. Again, look, I have a problem.
So upon graduation, look, I just got a check from the university for $1.75. Sweet.
Yeah, and again, that's why, listen, I have a problem with not the plan, but the percentage itself. I mean, 75% is a big damn number.
I have a problem with the entire thing. They're already getting paid with their tuition. They don't need to get paid on top of it. I mean, now, I just this whole thing is stupid, and this is just one law. What's the next state going to do? We just don't know. It's convoluted, and it's going to get even more convoluted to the point where maybe I should be glad about this, because all of this will end up making people think, okay, forget it. They're not going to do this because it's too complicated from state to state. Or they'll try this, and then suddenly it's federally regulated, and we know what happens when that happens. So no, they're getting paid. They're scholarships. They get to eat free. They get to go places. They get those wonderful facilities. Some of them have DJ booths. Some of them have haircut places, also known as barbershops. Sorry, haircut places just jumped in my head first. So they have all this stuff. They don't need to get paid extra on top. What do you need more money for?
So, ladies and gentlemen, Lonzo is not only in favor of you not being able to work for income if you do decide to anyway.
They are working. They are working for income. They are.
He is in favor of the redistribution of wealth.
No, I'm not. No, I'm not. Don't you do that.
I'm sure your friends over on the other stations, though, will be very happy when I text into their show that Zoe is in favor openly of redistribution of wealth.
I expect these traps from other people, not from you. And you know what? And you're not even representing me correctly.
No.
What I am saying, and I'm being consistent with this, is this whole thing is stupid. They're already getting paid, and you want to take the scholarships away from them and make the endorsements their pay. That's fine. But as long as you go to school and you accept the scholarship, you're getting paid. You don't need anything else.
You are only allowed to make money in the way that Lonzo dictates is right. No second jobs for you,
so now,
ladies and gentlemen.
So now you're trying to make me into a socialist or a communist. And that's just, we're trying our best. I'm trying my best to keep politics out of the show. And you just keep trying to bring me in, and I'll just turn my mic off. Come on, man. This is ridiculous.
In fairness, jokes aside. I was playing around, but jokes aside. What is your – and I'm asking this question genuinely. I'm very curious here. What is your reasoning that athletes, if somebody comes to me, and I know I kind of had this metaphor yesterday, but I'll expand it a bit. I signed a contract to make X amount of dollars from Odyssey and from ESPN Upstate. If somebody comes to me and says to me, Rob, and somebody says to me, hey, we want to pay you, Rob Brown, to show up at this bar on Thursday nights aside from the radio station, we want to pay you to show up to this bar on Thursday nights. We don't really need you to do anything. We just need you to show up. Let us post a picture or two on social media to convince people to come out and see Rob Brown, to visit Rob Brown from ESPN Upstate. If there was no rules from our corporate office, that was totally okay. They said, if you want to make money on your name, image, and likeness away from the radio station, and a bar offered me that opportunity, Zoe, should I turn them down in the name of, I have already accepted pay for my name, image, and likeness from the radio station, I should not be allowed to make any additional on the side.
See, this is kind of a moot argument because you understand that you cannot go out and do what you're saying because you're not allowed to. You'd have to go through corporate, and corporate would have to approve it, and they will not approve it. So because you are in a spot where technically Odyssey and ESPN Upstate kind of owns your name, your image, and your likeness right now. So you can't go and do something. That's why we have payola and plugola laws.
Sure.
There's so many things like that where that would fall into play.
So let's up the game then. What if I got a phone call from another station? Now, I wouldn't do this because I love where I work. That's genuine. But what if I got a call from another station that said to me, Rob Brown, we're going to pay you the same as you would get at ESPN Upstate. Same salary, same endorsement rate, same talent fees, etc. But we will allow you to go out and to utilize, not under the banner of the radio station, right? Like, I can't show up in there in the station shirt. But we will allow you to go down. I see him over there in the chat. You are allowed to go down to Michael Stathakis' restaurant on Thursdays and sit in a booth and let people come up because they know you're going to be there. And Stathakis can pay you $500 because he's rolling around in the big bucks. Stathakis can pay you $500 every Thursday for you to go sit in his restaurant for 3 hours and shake hands and fist bump. Am I a bad guy if I go, you know what, that's a big enough boost to justify me going there, because that is effectively what, let's say, the state of Alabama has done if other states do not jump in line?
I don't know. And I'm not going to change my mind on this. And I may not be smart enough to explain the reasonings why, although I think I've done a pretty good job. In the end, you accept the scholarship, you signed a contract, you are being provided more than a lot of other people. You're being provided more than people in third world countries will ever see as far as dollar value for what you're getting, the amount of food you're getting, all the other things that come along with it. If you want to take those endorsements, give up your scholarship and bet on yourself and do it that way. If not, shut up.
What a grand finale from Lonzo. Speaking of Michael Stathakis, he says, let the market decide. Trade away the scholarships in trade for endorsements and see which option more kids decide to take. Nobody factors in the intrinsic value of those benefits that are also provided to those players and excessive scholarship boarding and food. It's $100,000 per year per player for coaching and training. So Stathakis is in your corner. Now, I would argue, Mike, Anzo, and everybody else, and again, this is a discussion show. It's an opinion show. That's why the phone lines are open at 844-GSP-ESPN. I would argue, is a state allowing their universities to say, even if you are on scholarship for $100,000 per year, which some schools, maybe like a Stanford, it's that high. I think for most schools, the value's clocked in at around $40,000 to $50,000 a year. It's still good money. All right, still good money. But my question for you, Michael, would be in this case, if the state's allowed to decide to go ahead and allow players to capitalize on themselves and make more money, is that not the market, right? You are the one in this case, in my opinion, argue with me as you will, you are the one that is asking to regulate the market. You are the one that is asking for legislation to prevent this from happening. You are the one, in my opinion, in this argument, that is trying to dictate how the market works. The market right now is demanding that these players who want the opportunity to make more money on top of their scholarship, and remember, this only works if the schools themselves agree to it, right? If Alabama wants to say, we're not giving football scholarships, you can come here and work for an endorsement if you choose, that is the market making a determination. That is the market making a determination, is it not? The market decided that name, image, and likeness is available, and the players get to decide how they react to that. That's the free market. You're the one asking for legislation on it. Let's do this. Wes, I see you on the phone. Hold the break for me. I will get you right out of the break. I'll give you the last segment. Everybody else, 844-GSP, ESPN. Text us at 71307. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show. This is ESPN Upstate. Wes, do me a favor. I hate to ask, but Wes, if you will hold through a very short top of the hour break, it's only a couple of minutes, I will get you coming right out of the gate. We're talking about this Georgia law that has just passed that will let athletes make money off of their name, image, and likeness, but also says that schools in the state of Georgia will take 75% of that money and give it back to other athletes who do not make as much via this same law. Good idea, bad idea. Wes, hold to the break. I'll get you up front. Everybody else, text 71307 to the Ingles Market text line. Give us a call, 844-GSP, ESPN. I want your thoughts. You dictate the next segment. Then it's those Fight Club Twitter trending topics to wrap it up in hour number three of the Rob Brown Show right here on ESPN Upstate.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.